Okay, in the name of Lord Jesus, we continue with our study of the doctrine of the Sabbath. Yeah. So yesterday we roughly talked about some of the main points concerning the significance of the Sabbath. I think just to help you recap what we did yesterday, also I'm going to repeat some of the main points. I think the institution of the Sabbath started after God had finished creating the universe. And so he spent 6 days, the first 6 days, to do the work of creation. So on the seventh day, and the Bible tells us that he ended his work. So I want you to turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. Remember, we talked about the four actional verbs mentioned in this passage of the scriptures. We read verse 2 and verse 3. Okay, verse 2, and on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. Four is an action verbs can be seen here. First, he ended the work, and second, he rested on the seventh day, knowing that, you know, being God himself, you know, he needed no rest at all. And this is done to set us a pattern of a weekly rest, right? So he rested on the seventh day. Now, third, we find that blessing is given on this day, meaning those who keep the Sabbath, they shall receive a blessing from God. And we have discussed this quite a lot based on Isaiah chapter 56 and Isaiah chapter 58. Okay, now, apart from blessing, we find that, you know, this day is also put aside, meaning this is not your day or my day. This day belongs to God. So he is sanctified, he is holy, and it must be kept holy. Right? Now, so you find that this seventh day is very unique as compared to the rest of the days in the week, because God did not bless the first day, the second, the third, the fourth, the fifth, and the sixth. Yeah? He only blessed the seventh. Right. And he only put the seventh day aside, not the other day. That's why this day is like stands up as compared to all the other days. Now, we find that the institution here is pre-Mosaic, meaning even before Moses was born, you find that this institution was made. Okay? Now, we also touch on, observing the Sabbath, reignites our relationship with God, knowing that He's the Master, and He's the Creator, and we are His creatures. So that is seen in Exodus chapter 20. Well, I think it's quite meaningful each time when we observe the Sabbath, with this in mind, we're coming to the church, knowing full well that He is the Creator, right? And he is also the provider of our needs, and so our trust is in God, right? And it gives us this sense of trust in him, right? Now, I think as we move further down, scriptures, and we come to Deuteronomy chapter 5, and another shared meaning is mentioned, that is, keeping the Sabbath enables us to understand that He is the Savior. It's a reminder, to the people of God that how you know, in the past, you know, they were slain in Egypt, and by the mighty hand of God, you know, they were delivered. Right? And so, observing the Sabbath, gave them the sense of deliverance, right? And then they knew very well that they had been saved by God. Had it not been the power of God, and you find that the entire generation would still be very much in Egypt. Right? So the application for us today is that, you know, Christ, Jesus Christ, has saved us from this world of sin. Right? Without his mighty power, none of us could have been saved by him at all. So by keeping the Sabbath, it reminds us about the redemption of God. Okay, so these are the points that we briefly covered yesterday. But we also find that actually on the Sabbath, it's like a family thing, all right? It's not just an individual thing. So I want you to read the return to Leviticus chapter 23. Okay, we turn to Leviticus chapter 23. Now we read verse 3. Right? Okay. Leviticus chapter 23, verse 3. Now, 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of solemn rest, the holy convocation. You shall do no work on it. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwelling. With the understanding that, you know, in the time of Exodus, especially when they were wandering about in the desert, right, they have their own home. So it seems that, you know, when the Sabbath came, then they have to remain in their own dwelling. So it gives us the sense of what that this Sabbath must be kept together with the family. I think the significance here is very great. Right? Now, if we can truly find rest in God on the Sabbath day, right, and we know the significance of the Sabbath and how important it is, right? Now we have to make sure that this idea and this this benefits of observing the Sabbath must be passed down to the next generation as well. Right? So the younger ones in our families or our siblings, you know, our spouses, our father and mothers, we have to ensure that, right, they're also within the confines, of the observance of the Sabbath. I think that is quite important as well. You know, I think it loses the significance if only we ourselves, individually speaking, keep the Sabbath, and what we leave our children behind, our family members behind. You know, sometimes we see this situation in the church, and this is not very encouraging, but because the Sabbath is for all the children of God, right? It's for everyone, it's not just for us. For the least in the family, to the most senior in the family, so everyone, right? So I think here, you know, by looking at this section of the scriptures, it actually tells us that there's quite a bit of work to be done in our family. Now, if we realize that our children or our father and our mother, you know, have not been keeping the Sabbath, then we find that, you know, we have a great duty to help them understand, you know, the significance of observing the Sabbath. So it's like a family thing, right? Now, if we extend this scope of discussion still further, to the church, you look at the church. Anyone who has been baptized into the church, right, and he or she is required, is obliged to keep the Sabbath as well. Right? So our duty is to what? Is to encourage them to come to observe the Sabbath. You know, sometimes, you know, when you look at our attendance, the Sabbath attendance is not at all encouraging. 70%, 65%, of course, with the exception of some churches. Some churches, 100%, 90%. I think in general, it's about 60%. This is not at all encouraging. It goes to show that, you know, it goes to show that believers have begun to move away from God. They have failed to understand their connection with God. And it seems that, you know, to a more severe extent, you know, some of them have been cut off from this relationship. Not that God cuts them off, but rather they cut themselves off from God. Right? Now, so when you look at the church as a whole, anyone whom you know, right? Let's put it this way: whoever is close to you, then I think you need to do your best to encourage him or her to come to church. Right? Now, I think when we come to what are the works can be done on the Sabbath, we find that keeping the Sabbath, on the day of the Sabbath, we need to do what? Good work. And I guess one of the best type of good works is to bring members back to the church. You have to observe the Sabbath. Right? Now, so it's a family thing. Now, so you find that, you know, when everyone can keep the Sabbath together, it brings a lot of joy. It's like within your own family, if everyone goes to church. And that creates a kind of a very harmonious atmosphere, not only within the church, but actually also in all the family, because everyone goes to church. Right? So, obviously, we pray that, you know, God will help us so that, you know, we can bring all the family members concerned to come to worship God. Now, here it also says it's a holy convocation when you gather together. Now, in a holy convocation, in today's understanding, or when you look at this in the light of the New Testament scriptures, it's quite clearly that the Word of God is expounded, is talked about, on the Sabbath, right, so that our spiritual life can be enriched. Okay, now so it's a family thing. I want to touch on one more point concerning the significance of the Sabbath. I want you to turn to the book of Hebrews, chapter 4. And Hebrews, chapter 4. Okay, Hebrews, chapter 4. Now we look at I will ask you a question later, but I will talk about this point first. Now, verse 9 and verse 10. Now, there remains therefore a rest for the people of God. Right? Now, quite clearly, here is another rest, and this is not a rest in the world today. And obviously, it talks about the grand Sabbath rest in the future, right? Now, for what kind of people, to enjoy this rest that God has prepared for His people? Now, I want you to look at verse 10 very carefully. And for he who has entered his rest, right? Now, I think the NKJV version makes it very easy for us to understand. For he refers to us, right? Any believer who has entered his refers to God. Yeah? God's rest has himself also ceased from his work, meaning we stop our work, and as God did from him. Now, my question is, when did he cease from working? When did he cease from working? After the creation, right? On the seventh day. Now, so I think here it brings out the important of observing the Sabbath, and not only that, actually it ties in with salvation, right? Now, just right now, the 7 days here. This is the day that God rested. I try to use a pictorial description. So I'm not going to draw it here, unfortunately. But okay, now you know that first day is here, right? First. Now God rested. So when we rest, on the seventh day, that is the Sabbath, right? Now you find that we actually rest not in our own rest, we enter into God's rest. Okay, we read again, just to make sure we grasp the meaning. For he who has entered, whose rest? His, God's rest, isn't it? Right? Okay, so on the Sabbath, when we talk about rest, we are not entering into our own rest. We are not having our own rest alone, okay? Now, what is important is, we need to enter into his rest because he rested on the seventh day, right? Now, so in his rest, we find rest. You understand what I'm saying? Right? Now, so if we keep the Sabbath on the first day or any other days of the week apart from the seventh day, we miss the point. Right? We may find rest, we can rest. You know, to us, rest means to sleep. There was a this movement. I think it's different, no? You understand what I'm saying? Right? So on the seventh day, we get entry into God's rest. Right? And that's why we find that the Sabbath is very significant, right? So if we can truly find rest in the Lord, then surely salvation is secure. That meaning you are always very close to God, right? You'll find that, okay? You'll find that, yeah? Now, on the Sabbath, let's say we keep the Sabbath on the seventh day of the week, right? Now, but if we do not keep the Sabbath holy, right, we get engaged in our own work or whatever, we can't enter into his rest, right? Because God ceased from all his work. He didn't do anything at all on that day. Therefore, today when we put our work aside, we enter into his rest. Now, obviously, we need to talk about what type of works we are talking about. Yeah? We'll come to this maybe today or tomorrow. Okay? All right. Now, I've got a question. Yeah? Now, I want you to look at verse 8 very carefully. Verse 8, who is the Joshua here? Who is Joshua? Is it a historical Joshua? Or what? Who is this? Or the Greek Jesus, same as the Hebrew Joshua? Which is which? Is the writer here talking about the historical Joshua or the Greek Jesus, same as the Hebrew Joshua?
Know what it says here, I don't know if it's right. It says here that the Greek Jesus name is the same as the Hebrew Joshua.
Yes. So which one do you think the scriptures is talking about? Is the writer here talking about the historical Joshua, the guy who led the nation into the land?
Historical?
Yeah.
Here, imagine.
You sure?
But the King James translated to the same name, Jesus. Not Joshua, Jesus.
So which one, historical or the?
Jesus.
It's Jesus, yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
The same words, Jesus.
All right, now we look at verse 8 again. Now, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Can you find this in the book of Joshua? Talking about day. You know, here it's talking about the day here. All right. I think that the closest reference that we can look at is Joshua chapter 22. Yeah, take a look at that. You guys know the Bible. Okay. Joshua chapter 22. Okay, before that, I want you to read first read chapter 21, yeah, because it talks about rest as well, okay? The right idea of rest. Now, verse 44, right? And this part of the scripture says that the promise of God has been fulfilled, right? Now, the Lord gave them rest all around, according to all that he had sworn to their fathers, and not a man of all their enemies stood against them. The Lord delivered all the enemies into their hand. Now, chapter 22, verse 4. And now the Lord your God has given rest to your brethren, as he promised them. Now therefore return and go to your tent and to the land of your possession, which Moses, the servant of the Lord, gave you on the other side of the Jordan. Is Joshua here talking about the Sabbath rest? No, isn't it? Is he talking about it? The Sabbath rest? No. What is Joshua talking about? The rest what? In the land of Canaan, after they have gained entry, isn't it? Enemies could not defeat them, and instead God what? Gave all their enemies unto their hands, and they destroy them all. Yeah? Now, so when you look at Hebrews chapter 4, right? Now, so I'm more inclined to believe that the Joshua here refers to Jesus, who is God himself. Now, do not be surprised. You know, when you study the book of Hebrews, you know, one of the key reasons for this book to be written is to confirm to the people who Jesus really was. It seems, judging on chapter 1, that they have lost sight of who the Lord was, who Jesus was. That's why painstakingly you find that the writer, you know, is like trying to reprove to them who Jesus was. Okay? So when you look at chapter 4, right? So it is not surprising at all, you know, for what? For the writer to use Jesus to tell them that, look, Jesus actually is the Lord God in the Old Testament time. Right? Now, I want you to look at chapter 11 as well. Chapter 11, yeah? Hebrews chapter 11. Okay. We read verse 26. Yeah? Now here it talks about Moses, right? How he suffered and how he chose, yeah, not to be with what Pharaoh. Okay. Now look at the description given, esteeming the reproach of Christ. Talking about Christ and using the word Christ, we know that Christ refers to the Lord, refers to Jesus. But here is use of Moses basically is to help the recipient of the book of Hebrews to understand that Christ actually is the Old Testament God, the Lord, Yahweh. Right? Is that okay? Now, so to me, I believe that chapter 4, Hebrews chapter 4, coming back to chapter 4, now chapter 4 verse 8, yeah? Now, so here, if Jesus, let's put it this way, okay? Let's paraphrase it. Okay, for if Jesus, meaning the Lord, had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. Talking about the Sabbath day. That's why you can see the connections now. When you come to verse 9 and verse 10, yeah, it makes a lot of sense. Otherwise, it seems that, you know, it's like this part of the scriptures is slightly disjointed. Yeah? Now, so when you put this into perspective, right, if we look at it very carefully and we say Joshua is Jesus, then to me, as far as I'm concerned, it makes a lot of sense. is the Lord God who has given the day, meaning the day that God has given to us is not given to change. You can change it. Right? Just for you to think about. Anyway. Is that okay? You know, sometimes I use this to talk to Christians who do not believe that the Sabbath is on the seventh day, right? And they believe that the Sabbath can be changed, right? I think this is a powerful verse. If you can explain it very accurately, you'll find that it cannot be changed. Or are you totally confused? Or you're not sure what I'm talking about? Very fast. Too tired to respond.
I agree. This is Jesus. This is just what you Jesus.
Okay, if not, then we move on. Okay, so far we have covered the significance of the Sabbath. Do you have any questions that you want to ask? Now you can ask. You are free to ask. If you have questions. But like what I said, if I'm not able to answer you, then I'll do a research, whatever.
You know how sometimes I just don't know where the Bible is. I'm sorry. You say Sabbath starts on Friday.
We'll come to that. We'll come to that. That is in my mind.
So say when the church, for the younger children, they run around in church, help them to observe the significance of the Sabbath.
I don't think we can stop them from running about because there are so many children in London. You can see how many, 20 of them.
Because it's also that's their nature. So is that also part of observing the Sabbath?
Yes, I think that the teachers here are doing a very good job. I think they can keep them, not to run about too much. Is that true? I think from young we need to instill the idea that the Sabbath is important. But I think as they grow older, they will understand that. I think for 2-3 years old, we can't stop that. We can ask them practically to sit down to listen to your son. Who is this Joshua? They won't have a clue. But I think to tell them that it's important is an important thing. I think I'm very happy to see that the children, even though I said they are quite out of order sometimes in the church, but the fact that they are in the church to me is good. But we just have to be a bit more patient. But I think the sisters are very patient. No problem. Okay.
The Sabbath starts from Friday evening or afternoon. But if you don't come on Friday, if you don't worship on Friday evening, but on Saturday, does that still count that you?
It's Sabbath day, one whole day. Civil day, 24 hours. So it's not like, for me, this kind of thing, we can only encourage the members, right? And I don't think we can enforce this. It's not a kind of restriction on them, but it's very difficult to say that everyone must come, like in London Church. Yeah. For youngsters, for the youth, it's okay because they stay all night, so it's not a problem. But I think for some elderly members, I don't think they can. And then some of them live quite far away from the church. But, you know, to me, if they can make it on Sabbath day, thank God. Because the heart is there. The most important thing is the heart. But the point is, I believe in this. If you can make it, and then you choose not to come, then that is wrong. Right? But obviously, please try not to justify yourself for not coming. I'm busy, I'm not coming. I don't think it's good. But you need to strive to come. If you are functional Christians, meaning you have the strength, you have the power, you have the ability to come, and you choose not to come, then I don't think that's right. You know, for some elderly members, like, you know, some people, they are not healthy, right? They are quite weak, quite feeble. We cannot demand them to come. Not possible. Right? That's why I think we need to, that's why when you come to the New Testament scriptures and Jesus said what? You need to think about mercy. You need to think about what? Loving kindness, this kind of thing. Yeah. And justice, this kind of thing. And all this must be taken into consideration. But here we are talking about functional Christians who have the power, the strength, the means, or whatever to come, and yet they choose not to come. And I don't think that's correct. I'm in a church, in one of the African churches. You know, the transport for them to come is a lot to them, right? It's not, that's why I said we can never understand, you know, how they struggle over them. Right? Sometimes they have to save money just to have enough to travel to the church, right? We have Friday night service, and we also have Saturday service. You know, if they can make it on Saturday, they are very happy because they have to save enough. And for us, we just start our car. Bam! It's very different. Yeah. For them, you have to. You know the example I told you about? That old man. He has to walk practically every Sabbath day, 5 to 7 miles, one way, just to get to the church. I think that kind of spirit is really worthy of emulation. And you know that desire, the intensity to worship God, to come see the face of God beyond the Sabbath, is truly touching. You know, we cannot imagine how it's like to walk 7 miles to the church. Why don't you try? You know, from my house to the church is 7 miles. Maybe one day I'm like, oh, I want to try. I want to walk and see how it's like. Exactly 7 miles. Maybe it will take me 2 hours.
I recently was a Middle East in Dubai. I kind of walk exactly of this kind of same distance.
7 hours.
Yeah, and for about probably 12 km, about there, 12 to 15. It took me for about 2-2.5 hours. I think by then, I was totally a gone case. I was totally dead.
Sweating, whatever.
Yeah, it was totally unthinkable. I think the situation. And when I told the taxi driver that's kind of the distance I walked, I think he thought I was kidding. Like, no one would actually walk that.
Dubai is too hot. Dubai is very hot.
It is winter now, well, so-called winter, but still respectable, 10 to 15, but it is very unthinkable.
You know, I walked before 12 kilometers. It's not slow walking, speed walking. You know, it took me about 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time I reached there, I was sweating profusely. So sometimes I think it's hard to imagine, you know, these people, they're willing to come to church. And obviously, I think many of them are used to this kind of being blind already. But just to, you know, help you understand, our world here in the West is very different. That's why, to me, you know, coming to church to worship God is a blessing. If we can come, right? And if, again, I said we are functional Christians, then we should come. We should always be here. We should always be here. Right.
I have a question.
Okay.
You may probably talk about it later, but you talk a few times about how we need to put aside our work, put aside kind of, you know, your own pleasure and just, you know, coming into worship and to observe the Sabbath, and I think that's very important. But my question is, how, you know, obviously you've been busy for the whole week, and your mind was kind of in an autopilot mood to just kind of keep thinking, you know, what you've been doing for the past 6 days. What is your opinion? Like how best we can actually prepare our heart? I mean, it's not just kind of sometimes you come into church on, say, Friday evening or actually for the 11 o'clock service and just kind of come in and cast aside all your things. Oh, and that, oh, yeah. Obviously, you know, you have the prayer and probably hymnal sometimes to actually prepare your heart. But is there a thought or some sharing from anyone about how, you know, how best you can actually sometimes prepare yourself for kind of that Sabbath really going into His rest?
Anyone?
I know it's not a program thing, but I thought any sharing would be quite, you know, from anyone, you know, from a busy kind of lifestyle, you know, I think that would be quite helpful to know.
Can I ask a question? You think about it. You know, how many of us here actually long to go to the church on the Sabbath? Have this longing to go? Do we desire or just, oh, Saturday is coming? How many of us long to go? Is that what? Oh, Saturday again. Oh, I'm going to watch toilet.
I look forward to the coming of the Sabbath day. It's better. Every day is Sabbath day.
It's a bit better. You know, look at my schedule and speak. Oh man. That's what I tell you. What I normally do is Friday night I go to this. Relax. I do my preparation Monday, Sunday to Thursday, Friday morning.
But you should. Right? I mean, you've got your work, but your work is that. So your work should be done before Thursday.
The busiest day for me is not.
It's your day. I mean, it's so for, I can't say it's longing. We look forward to going. My wife and I, the boys don't. That's a whole different story, but from Thursday night is when we start to prepare the food because we go to other people's houses or they come to our house.
Mm-hmm.
So everything is done, everything is ready, everything is wrapped Thursday. So that when we go, it's we don't have to do anything. My struggle comes when I have to get the three other ones to want to go because they want to do something else. And if I don't have patience, then all of a sudden I'm not in the right mood. So my struggle isn't getting me to go or wanting to go. It's keeping my wanting to go when I've got to argue with three little tyrants to go. And they're good. They're only seven, but they argue good.
It spoils your mood. Okay.
I have a small question.
Yeah.
why we keep Sabbath, then God bless us.
Hey, you ask, you can answer yourself. No problem. 自问自答。
We keep the Sabbath, so we get the blessing. Why? Why God bless us when we keep the Sabbath?
Okay.
Okay. I ask you a question.
I thought we mentioned that.
I want to know, is that in the Bible is clear, a clear record that say that Sabbath is from Friday night to Saturday night? I know for the festive, the Holy Sabbath on the festival, the Jewish festival, it starts from the twilight, right? But for the seventh day Sabbath, start from Friday night to Saturday night?
Okay, since we are talking about this, maybe you can just return to Genesis. How is the age not? Okay. We start from the second day, verse 8, right? No. And look at the sequence given in this verse as well. I think it actually follows through. I mean, throughout the entire chapter. Now, whenever the day is mentioned, right? Now, verse 8, and God called the firmament heaven. So the evening first, and the morning were the second day, right? Now, so I think the sequence is quite clear. We mentioned about the evening. Now, obviously, we believe it's, you know, after the sun has gone down, it's the beginning of the sunset to sunset. Now, if you look at the third day, verse 13, right? Verse 13. Now, so the evening and the morning were the third day. And I think the same patterns, yeah, is mentioned throughout the entire chapter. Now, when you come to verse 19, yeah, it's the same. And so the evening and the morning were the fourth day. And this is what I have been taught. So it's from evening to evening, sunset to sunset. Evening first, and then daylight, the evening is one day.
Yeah. But my question is, from evening to morning, so which day, right? So it's from evening to morning. And also in verse 5, it says,
what do you mean?
It's not from evening to the next evening, it's from evening to morning. So this shows it's coming from the evening, right?
No, you read again, there are two parts.
Evening and the morning, or the
evening
and the morning, yes.
There are two parts.
Yeah, two parts.
Okay. See whether I can draw it. Okay, this is a line. Okay, this line here. And this button. You combine one day.
So evening, morning.
Evening. There's
yes.
Evening here.
Yes.
Like this.
Morning. That's one day.
Yes.
Then,
hang on. When you come to this point,
yes.
You enter into another day.
Yes. Yeah, because my question is that in first time that God called the night day, right?
Mm.
And the darkness is called the night.
Mm.
So only called the light, I mean the part of light is called day. So if how about if the Sabbath day is called, just refer to the light part. So you call Sabbath is a light heart.
Okay.
Just there's not in the Bible say the Sabbath night, so Sabbath day.
Okay.
So I thought it's only referred to the light heart.
Okay.
So it means not from the Sabbath,
Friday
night. Yeah.
So when you talk about day, yeah, you talk about 7 days, isn't it?
Yes.
The seven mean you have evening. You have evening, and then what do you spell evening? And then you have
morning.
Is the part that is the sun has gone down, and this one is you have what
sunlight. Yes.
Right. So morning. So this is something. Now, when you talk about day, we talk about day mean evening and morning. And this is what we call a civil day. Civil days,
okay.
24 hours day. Right? Day, not, it's not in, only morning, no. But we talk about 7 days, we're talking about the seventh civil day, 24 hours day.
Is it from the Nehemiah chapter 13, 19?
We turn to Nehemiah. Okay.
Okay. Before the Sabbath.
The point is,
you
can talk
to yourself. So, you said, you will do it. 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 比如说是星期六对不对
前一天黑, 安息日前一天黑, 对, 你要把门关起来, 对, 那个, verse 15. So it was at the gate of Jerusalem and began to stop before the sun. Yeah. Okay, this is the 7 day. It's the 7 day, right? Now, so when the 6 days begins to finish, it's about to finish, you enter into what? The time without the sunlight. That's why you said before it became dark. So the Sabbath begins at sunset.
But here you say before Sabbath day.
Yeah, before Sabbath day, it's not. When that's why it says six. Okay, let's say six p.m. The sun goes down completely, but there's no light. So this is where the seven begin, right? And then here, when the what? When the sun goes down, yeah. And then it's the beginning of the first day. Okay. That's how we call it.
Right, we break. This is a song.